Reading is from Revelation, chapter 5.
Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you are slain, and with your blood you purchase for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power for ever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped.
Hello, everyone, and especially hello to members of St. Ebbs. It feels very strange indeed to be talking in a room of my own to a camera, but I'm trying very hard to imagine you there. And believe me, I'm missing you very, very much. That's true of all the staff team. And I know you're missing each other. It's tough, isn't it? But how lovely to be able to, at least to have this virtual gathering. And I hope you sense, even if you're there on your own, that at least in spirit you're with the people of God from St. Ebbs, and indeed many others who've joined us from around the world, and you are very welcome as well. How we need to hear from God in this time of crisis. And I've chosen for these few weeks some chapters from the book of Revelation, written at another time of crisis for the church in particular. Facing persecution, some of their members had been killed. John, their beloved apostle, was on exile in Patmos. And God gives these visions to John. And instead of looking around and seeing all the mess in the world, God is saying to the people, "Look up." We saw that last week. And I've given this series of sermons that title, "Look Up." Look up, chapter 4. There is a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it. God's in charge. And today we're looking at chapter 5, and there are three great features of this vision that we look at today. And each feature contains a reassuring truth. I hope it'll be a huge encouragement to you, as it has been to me as I've studied. Let's begin with a prayer. Loving Father, help us to see these hidden realities in heaven and to be deeply reassured and encouraged by them, that we might be spurred on to persevere in living for you, the God who reigns on the throne. And we pray for your name's sake. Amen. Look up. And as John looks up, the first thing he sees is a scroll. There in the right hand of the one sitting on the throne, a scroll. And the message is, there is a plan. There is a plan. What does this scroll mean and represent? The clues of how to understand the book of Revelation are all in the Old Testament. It might seem a very mysterious book for us, but God is writing verbal pictures using Old Testament colours. This image of the scroll comes from the book of Ezekiel. And in the context of the book of Revelation, it clearly speaks of God's plan for the future. Chapter 5, verse 1. Then I saw, in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. At the beginning of chapter 4, John heard a voice, and it promised to tell him what would take place after this, a vision of the future. And in chapter 6, once this sealed scroll, it's the equivalent of a book today, is opened, then history is unleashed, unlocked, and this future comes to pass. So I take it this scroll represents God's plans for the future, and what an encouragement it is to know that there is a plan. We've reminded ourselves over the last few weeks that COVID-19 is a symptom of a deeper problem. The original global pandemic of sin that infected human beings right at the beginning and is spread to all of us. And the result is a terrible mess in our own lives and in the world around us. But it's not going to go on and on and on like this. There's a scroll, and the scroll tells us God has a plan. The Prime Minister told us just this week that we've passed the peak in this country. What good news that is. And he said this coming week he's going to reveal a plan. They're still working on it. But God isn't working on this plan. It's already sealed. He's written it. It's there. The world isn't as it should be. We're reminded of that. With every funeral we attend, every time we get sick, every time we see some act of injustice, every time we experience a broken relationship. And what hope is there in the midst of a world that is not as it should be? Well, here's what the Italian writer and filmmaker Fellini said. Like many people, I have no religion at all. I'm just sitting in a small boat, drifting with the tide. Today we stand naked, defenceless, and more alone than at any other time in history. We are waiting for something, perhaps another miracle, perhaps the Martians. Who knows? Bertrand Russell was less optimistic. He said, "We stand on the shore of an ocean, crying to the night and the emptiness. Sometimes a voice answers out of the darkness, but it's the voice of one drowning. And in a moment, the silence returns." Well, that's very bleak. But God says, no, there is hope. Look up. There's a scroll which tells us God has a plan. And yet there's a tragedy. Because in the drama that's described in Revelation 5, they say, who's worthy? Who's able to open the scroll? And they can't find anyone who's qualified. And John weeps and weeps and weeps, frustrated. It's as if the future of human history is like a great ship at the top of a runway. It's stranded. It's waiting for someone to crack the champagne, to cut the ribbon, and then it can be launched. But history's suspended, waiting. And so the chapter ends, or the chapter begins with that question. Who is worthy to break the seal, to open the scroll? We don't have to wait for long. We move to the second feature of this vision. The Lamb. And the message? There is a Saviour. Look again at chapter 5. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Once again, the imagery comes straight from the Old Testament. The Old Testament tells the story of a perfect world spoilt by human sin. But then right at the beginning of the Bible, the first book, the book of Genesis, God promises that he's going to put things right. a ruler will come. He's depicted as a great lion. And later in the Bible, we're told that this lion, this great king, will be descended from David. And we're told in this vision that the lion has come and he's already conquered. The lion has triumphed. He can open the scroll. He can launch history towards its final destination. In the vivid language of Boris Johnson, COVID-19 is like a mugger. And already the human race around the world is wrestling this mugger, and people are doing a magnificent job fighting. But the fight goes on, and we wonder, how will victory be achieved? We're praying for a vaccine that will work. We're praying for a treatment that will work. But until that time, the plan that might be revealed this week will only be a partial return to normal. And yet we're told in this magnificent vision that the lion has already conquered. The battle has been won. The Saviour has come and won against the greatest enemy of all, the enemy of sin and Satan and death. And so we read verse 6. Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the centre of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. Well, there's a surprise. He's been told about this great lion, the mighty conqueror, and he sees a lamb. And here two great images of the Old Testament speaking about the coming Christ emerged. The lion, the great victor, and the lamb, the suffering servant that Isaiah prophesied. We had it read to us earlier. The lamb that was led to the slaughter. And it was through his suffering and death that Jesus achieved the great victory. Because of our sin, death has us in its grip. Our sin demands the penalty of death, physically and spiritually, that we might be separated from God. And so Satan has us in his grip. But the Lord Jesus Christ, by suffering in our place, by dying our death, enables a way for us to be released from the grip of sin and Satan and death. If we trust in him, those great enemies can have no claim on us. The decisive victory has magnificently been won by Jesus on the cross. Well, what an encouragement these two images must have been to the Christians in the first century, and what an encouragement they are to us today. Jesus, the lion, much more powerful than any other power, those persecutors of the first century and the coronavirus of the 21st century. The lion and the lamb, the one who's been here and suffered. So no matter what we're experiencing, he gets it. He too has suffered and experienced vulnerability and confusion and weakness. He gets it. That truth was a huge encouragement to Edward Sillitoe, the poet who wrote in the First World War. His most famous poem is called Jesus of the Scars, and I'm going to read to you the first and the last verse. If we have never sought, we seek thee now. Thine eyes burn through the dark, our only stars. We must have sight of thorn pricks on thy brow. We must have thee, O Jesus of the Scars. The other gods were strong, but thou wast weak. They rode, but thou didst stumble to a throne. But to our wounds, only God's wounds can speak. And not a god has wounds, but thou alone. Yes, Jesus knows what it is to suffer. So when we pray to him in our confusion, our anxiety, our loneliness, our grief, we can be sure he's experienced just the same things. He does get it. And perhaps as you prayed over these last few weeks, you've wondered, is anyone up there? Are my prayers actually getting through? Did you notice a magnificent little detail in this vision? That in heaven, there are golden bowls full of incense. And John tells us, that is the prayers of God's people. They seem so worthless here on earth. And people are saying to us, why bother praying? What's the point of that? But what looks so worthless here on earth is very precious in the sight of God, preserved in golden bowls, heard in the presence of God. Look up! See the scroll, there is a plan. Look up! See the Lamb, there is a Saviour. And then third and finally, look up and see the choir. And hear what they sing. There is a future. It's a very impressive choir. Very elite. The four living creatures, those strange angelic beings, and the 24 elders that represent the people of God down the ages. And they sing a new song. Verse 9. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. Music has been a great encouragement to many people during these difficult times. And operas and musicals have been streamed free to view. And very often it's been a form of escapism. We want to leave all the mess around us and be transported by those stories and by that magnificent music. And that's a great thing to do. But this music and this song doesn't take us away and escape from reality. It reminds us of what is true, of what is real. The magnificent truth, because Jesus died, he's purchased people from every nation. And that's the great story that's happening around the world today. The good news about Jesus, the King, the Saviour, is being proclaimed. And people of every type and every background and every nation are being brought into the family of God. And I hope very much that you've entered that family. And if you have, because Jesus died for you, you can know that you're completely forgiven. You're completely secure. You're absolutely loved. And if you're not yet in that family, well, there's a message which proclaims a wonderful invitation. You can come too. You can receive these amazing blessings now. But the song speaks of a reality of blessings now, yes, but also of a magnificent future that is still to come. Look at the next words that they sing. Verse 10. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. On Friday, we're going to celebrate VE Day, the 75th anniversary. Well, that was the time when at last the Nazis announced that they were not going to fight anymore. But the ultimate victory was only made possible because the decisive victory that occurred 11 months previously on D-Day, when the Allies landed in Normandy. From that moment on, the ultimate outcome was not in doubt. And so when Jesus Christ died on the cross, that was the decisive victory. And from then on, the ultimate outcome was not in doubt. And this verse speaks of what is still to come. The people of God, all those who turn to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ from every nation, will one day reign with him on earth. There's going to be an amazing new creation described right at the end of the book of Revelation, when all the mess in this present world will be removed. And at last, those things that we feel powerless against will be defeated. We'll no longer be under the grip and control of sickness and sin and death, but we will share in Christ's victory. It's a magnificent future to look forward to. There's been lots of talk, isn't there, about what is the future beyond COVID-19. Lots of speculation. Things won't be the same. But certainly there'll be some problems that will continue. And yet here, in this vision, we're told that there is an ultimate future when everything will be sorted and there'll be no more misery and mess. There'll be a perfect world made possible because Jesus, the Saviour, has come. And no wonder heaven praises God. And so that elite choir is now added to. And we read that there's a choir of multitudes of angels, millions of them. And they sing this song. Please join in as I say these words. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise. My dear brother, dear sister, I know this is hard. But whatever you're going through, remember, Jesus is the Lamb. He gets it. And then look up. See the scroll. There is a plan. See the Lamb. There is a Saviour. See the choir. There is a future. They speak of a perfect world to come. And of the light of that glorious future, persevere and keep living for Jesus. This chapter ends with an even more magnificent choir. We're told that every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth joins in the chorus of praise. So when you go on your next daily walk and you see the trees and the leaves and the birds and the squirrels and the flowers, hear them joining in the praise to Jesus, the Saviour, because they're going to share in the wonder of this salvation. When at last, all creation, as Paul puts it, will be released from its bondage to decay, and everything will be put right, and all will be well. And so keep going, and in the battles that we continue to face, look up and keep praising. And so let's close by saying together the words that all creation is saying in heaven. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honour and glory and power for ever and ever. Loving Father, we praise you for this vision that speaks of realities. And please help us to look up and to cling to these truths and to persevere in living for Jesus. And we pray in his name. Amen. Our final song fits very much with the theme of what we've been talking about. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne.